50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Donnie Football in for the guys until 6. Josh Rountree after me. The college football national championship game is tonight. Says 7:30. Guessing that'll be probably more along the lines of a 7:45 or 8 p.m. start between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Number 6 versus number 5 in the college football rankings. So we'll get that tonight at 7:30 as we are waiting on Josh Yorish from FanSided to join the program. Having some difficulties there getting Josh, but we should get him in a few minutes. I would love to throw it out there to people asking who they got tonight at 412-928-9370. Plan on diving more into this matchup after the conversation with Josh. Get Josh's take on how this game will go. I'll say this, and yeah, I grew up rooting for Ohio State. That fire doesn't burn nearly as much now as it did when I was a kid. But I think just from an outside view looking in, I feel like Ohio State is going to win this football game. And I think they're going to win the football game in somewhat comfortable fashion. But we will see what our guy Josh thinks of that. Josh Yorish from FanSided joining us right now on the Fan Hotline. Josh, your initial thought on the national championship game tonight, Ohio State and Notre Dame.
My thought is that Ohio State is probably going to win and win fairly convincingly. It's the best roster in football. That's been the case all year. They had a slip up out in Eugene. They had the disaster against Michigan, but they're finally playing like the best team in college football. And I think it'll be a bit of an anticlimactic end to the 12-team college football playoff because the semifinals were fantastic, but I think Ohio State's going to roll.
I feel the exact same way, and I have already bet on an exact score. I like doing that for, like, championship games.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
I have Ohio State 37, Notre Dame 20 tonight. I think they'll be up by 10-14 for most of this game once it gets rolling a little bit.
Yeah, I've done final score predictions a couple times in different places, podcasts and writing, and I think I've settled on 31-17 with a Notre Dame backdoor touchdown at the end, maybe. It seems a bit closer than it actually was type of a final score, and it has a lot to do. I feel like you maybe are into this game specifically because a lot of the storylines are on the offensive line. And I don't know if you want to get into that, but the recipe to beat Ohio State is just something that Notre Dame's probably not going to be able to pull off.
What would they have to do? Like, what would you have to see Notre Dame doing in this game early for you to start thinking, okay, they actually have a shot to win this thing?
It's going to sound a bit coach speak Mike Tomlin, but stop the run. The two teams that have been able to slow down this Ohio State offense, Michigan and Texas, they've been able to stop the run without loading the box. And they had about 30% stuff rates in those games. Those are runs held to zero or fewer yards. And Notre Dame has a bit of an issue there because I think they have about a 13% stuff rate on the season, which is 16th percentile in college football, which translates to not very good. And Al Golden, their defensive coordinator, he likes to play single high. He likes to play man coverage. And they can do it against a lot of teams. I mean, Penn State's wide receivers didn't have a single reception in that matchup. not that Penn State's wide receivers are Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Ibuka and Carnell Tate.
They had as many catches as I did.
Yeah, exactly. You and me both. But if Notre Dame can play two high safeties, if Al Golden can be patient and force Chip Kelly to run the football like Michigan and like Texas both did, and they can stop them on the ground, then I'll start to think maybe we have a game on our hands. But otherwise, if you see Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, the two running backs for Ohio State, ripping off 5, 6, 7, they don't have to be explosive, but significant gains on the ground early in this one, then I think they're going to pull away.
It felt like to me that Ohio State's real shot to lose was in the semifinal against Texas. I felt like if Ohio State won that game, they were going to win the national title because they would have beaten Penn State. Let's be honest. James Franklin would have cratered in a national championship against them. And I feel pretty good about them going into tonight.
Yeah, Texas, and it felt that way going into the Rose Bowl as well. Ohio State's had an incredibly tough draw. And it's a weird thing to say this is one of the more impressive championship runs. I'm not going to say one of the best teams or anything like that. This team did lose to Michigan as a 15-plus point favorite at home. But the championship run through the new playoff is pretty ridiculous, taking out a Tennessee team that was a pretty good team and just rolling them early. Same with Oregon, the only undefeated team heading into the playoff. And then, like you said, Texas was the chance. That Texas defense is really good, was really good, one of the best in the country. I would put it second to this Ohio State defense, which is another problem for Notre Dame. We haven't really talked about that side of the football. But, yeah, if the Buckeyes were going to get got, it would have been in Texas at the Cotton Bowl semifinal against the Longhorns. And if it weren't for some early penalties that slowed the offense, I think they would have won that game by 20-25. So, I just don't think anyone's going to stop the Buckeyes this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Ohio State defense. That's kind of where I think it'll be most difficult for Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's defense could actually have a few drives where we are sitting at home thinking, okay, that side of the football is ready to play a little bit. I just don't feel, and maybe it's because I don't really believe in Riley Leonard. I don't know what it is. I just don't feel like Notre Dame's offense will be able to really get off the ground.
Yeah, Notre Dame is a type of offense that needs to be ahead of the sticks, right? They're really run heavy. Jeremiah Love's going to be healthy, probably 100%, they're saying, for this one. Their star running back, who I think was second in the country in yards after contact to Ashton Gentry. So he is a really dynamic running back who can hit explosives and he can break tackles. But Ohio State's defense is number one in the country in success rate. They get you behind the sticks. They get you in third and long, and then they get after you with Jim Knowles. He loves to bring pressure, and Riley Leonard this year, you said you don't believe in him. The numbers back it up. I don't believe in him either. He's 3.8 yards per attempt under pressure this season, which is a really bad number. He covers up for that with his athleticism, with his legs, but when you're being spied by the linebackers, Lathan Ransom, Sonny Styles, or the safeties, Caleb Downs, that Ohio State has, you saw on that pitch play near the goal line that Texas tried to run how much speed this Ohio State defense has on the second level. It's just not going to be the same thing as it was against Penn State or against even Georgia, because this Ohio State defense is much more talented than even that Georgia defense was.
Let's have a little fun here from both sides of it. If Notre Dame is to win this game, who has to be their star?
I'll say Jeremiah Love. I just think you need some explosives, and I don't see much of a path to getting them through the passing game. Oregon got Ohio State deep in the regular season and tested those corners, but Denzel Burke and Igbinosin, they're good cornerbacks, and I don't trust the depth on that Ohio State receiving core. So I think it needs to be just a heroic effort from Jeremiah Love, who was fantastic against Penn State on, you know, playing on pretty much a pitch count. But I don't see a huge path. If there's going to be one, it would be a ridiculous performance from Love on that side of the ball. And I'll give you two for the price of one on this one. Xavier Watts, the safety for Notre Dame, who was the defensive player of the year in the country last season, leading the nation in interceptions, he needs to force a turnover, maybe even two, because we didn't mention Will Howard's name. He's susceptible to making a mistake if you force him into it. So Notre Dame's going to have to be very opportunistic defensively to be able to pull an upset in this one.
If Ohio State is to win the game, who has to be their star?
I'll stick on the ground. We're seeing in the NFL playoffs, running backs matter again. I'll say Quinshon Judkins. I think Travion Henderson is the better of the two backs in the Ohio State backfield, but Chip Kelly likes to run between the tackles with Judkins. And as I mentioned, Notre Dame has a really low stuff rate. They don't have a great success rate against the run. Penn State was able to run it very effectively on Notre Dame. So if you can keep Will Howard ahead of the stick, you can force Notre Dame to put another safety in the box. Then you can hit Jeremiah Smith, who is, if you haven't seen him play and you're listening and this is going to be your first college football game of the year, he's basically a Julio Jones clone. Then they can start to hit him deep and Emeka Buka deep and Carnell Tate, all the weapons that they have on that Ohio State offense.
I think it's another scary factor about Ohio State is that Smith was really non-existent in that semifinal game, and they still won by two touchdowns.
Yeah, that just shows how incredibly versatile this offense is. Texas did a lot of cool stuff to take him away. Like I said, living in those two high shell looks that we hear a lot about in the NFL as well, and they have Jahdae Barron, who's one of the best defensive backs in the country. So they were able to say, we are not letting your phenom freshman beat us. And Ohio State just has so many other ways that they can say, okay, we'll beat you with the other five stars that we have all over this $20 million roster. And I think that versatility is ultimately going to be the reason that they're the national champs.
Talking to Josh Urish, he covers college sports for FanSided. Josh, Steeler fans have already moved on to mock draft season, and they're going to be watching this game tonight through the prism of, hey, I would love to see this guy play for the Steelers. You know, I used to joke with my buddies, anytime somebody in a big college game would make a play, I'd say that guy would look pretty good in black and gold. Oddly enough, we used to say it about guys like Najee Harris going back a few years, and he looked okay in black and gold. I don't know if I would say great by the time he got to his end, but some guys in this game on both sides tonight, both sides of the ball, both teams that Steeler fans should have their eyes on as dudes who could become Steelers in the first couple of rounds in the next few months.
Yeah, at positions of need, the mind immediately goes to Emeka Egbuka. We were just talking about Jeremiah Smith, who's the best receiver, in my opinion, in the country, who's a true freshman. So you got to wait a couple years for him, and you're going to be picking a lot higher than Mike Tomlin would ever want to get your hands on a guy like Jeremiah Smith. But Egbuka is a really talented receiver. And that Ohio State roster, my mind immediately goes to a lot of players on it because they were the kind of retention kings last offseason, much the way Penn State kind of has been bringing back a lot of their junior class. So you have guys on the defensive line like Jack Sawyer and JT Tuimoloau, which is a fun name to try to roll off the tongue very quickly. Two defensive ends for Ohio State. In the secondary, almost everyone is going to be draft eligible for Ohio State. So a guy like Denzel Burke, Noah Igbinosin on the outside, or Davison Igbinosin, my apologies. But weirdly, the best players in this game are underclassmen in Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs, the safety for Ohio State. You'll see him. They play kind of a weird three safety look now, and he's basically lined up right where the umpire is in the defensive backfield and just wreaks havoc on opposing offenses. So for future guys like that, for right now, Egbuka on the Ohio State offense is really the one you want to keep your eye on, because this is sadly a thin wide receiver class, which is not going to sound good for for Steelers fans. But Egbuka is probably going to sneak into the first round, and maybe could have been a first rounder last year, but he decided to come back to try to do exactly what I think Ohio State's going to do tonight.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the guy that I cling to. You know, Pony had Kenny Pickett. Chris had Broderick Jones a couple of years ago. I think Emeka Egbuka will be the one that I go with. Josh Urish, college sports writer from FanSided. Josh, thanks for taking the time today, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Enjoy the game.
There we go. Josh, a former intern here, by the way. Charlie, I don't know if you knew that. He was Craig's final intern when Craig was still producing for the guys. So glad to see Josh out there doing his thing. Coming up, I want to hear who you got tonight at 412-928-9370. How much of an interest do you have in this game? 412-928-9370. Found it interesting earlier that Joe and Austin seem to have minimal interest in watching this national championship game. 412-928-9370. You can also hit us up on the fan text line. That is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. 5:15. Now is the time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610. And I only know what time it is, Charlie, because I know what time we always come back for this segment. Because here is the clock and time situation in the studio right now. So we normally have a big clock that is down to the second that is up to our left. It is right in between the glass between this studio and the producer booth so that the people yapping into the microphone know what time it is when they like to go to break. That has been down for about 2 weeks now. For whatever reason, it has not been fixed. The time on the computer monitor in here says 5:13. That is not correct. There is a little clock to my right where we have our buttons to turn the microphones on. That time says 5:18. So we are off on both sides. And you got to find a happy medium there. It's basically between the two times that I am looking at. So I was able to just guess that it was 5:15 there.
A little bit of a how the sausage is made there.
Yeah. And, you know, that the clock that is up to our left, it's a little bit important. So hopefully.
I wonder how Starkey's been without.
Well, he
incorrect clocks.
Yeah, he never pays attention to it anyway. But it'd be nice for that to be fixed. I don't know. Just an idea. 412-928-9370. That's the number to call if you want to join the conversation. Who you got tonight in the national championship game? Ohio State, Notre Dame, just after 7:30. A little bit weird how the teams got there. It didn't quite go chalk like some may have expected in the college football playoff, the first year of the 12-team college football playoff. There's a guy on the line who I'm pretty sure we know, Charlie, who he has tonight, and that is Johnny the Barber. Hello, Johnny.
Woo, baby! Let's go! It's time! It's time! The game is on! Brought to you by The Ohio State, better known as the NFL's training camp. The Catholics versus the draft pick. Can't wait to see it. This is all I hear from Notre Dame. We run man-to-man, and we're not changing it for anyone because we can man up with anything Ohio State has. Good luck. I'm telling you, Jeremiah Smith, Ibuka, they're all just sitting there going, feed me, come on, I dare you to go man-to-man. Dare you, you won't do it. We'll do it. Too scared. We'll do it.
Johnny, I got to say, I'm on your side. I think Ohio State wins easily.
I think minimum two touchdowns. I mean, BFF, which blew up this weekend, Barber Football Focus. Barber Football Focus was 100 this weekend. 100. Look at and what was the biggest upset? Would you say was maybe Washington?
Yeah.
More Ohio State alum on it than who they played. Everyone that won this weekend had the most Ohio State alum compared to their competitor.
Terry 100%. McLaurin had a nice little night.
Oh, the man feasted. He feasted. He was a man amongst boys, which, if you remember Chris Muller, Mulsey telling me, oh, word, I wish you shouldn't pick him up. The Steelers shouldn't pick him up. No, you pick up any Ohio State man that's left on the board.
Johnny, what's your official score prediction?
I'm going to go 42-17, and that's with garbage points at the end.
Anything else, Johnny?
Ohio.
There he goes. You knew he was going to call in. This is his day. I got to give it to him there.
We got a tweet from a guy that said, Johnny the Barber hasn't called in yet. And he was on hold, and I'm just like, just wait for it.
Oh, yeah, our guy Tad.
Just wait for it.
And then he says he is giddy with a word in between there, which is funny. 412-928-9370. Chris is in the car. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I just want to say Ohio State doesn't even deserve to be there. You get beat by a 6-5 Michigan team, unranked, at the Shoe, and you're going to tell me you only dropped four spots in the rankings? Give me a break. Michigan beat them this year. What's that make Michigan then? And Michigan's going to smack them around next year, too. So, Johnny the Barber, you can bet on that.
Well, Chris, I appreciate the call. I thought Ohio State was pretty borderline when they lost that game to Michigan. But it's a little bit difficult to call in on the day of the national championship and say, well, this team doesn't deserve to be there, because they promptly kicked Tennessee's ass. They kicked Oregon's ass. They had a little bit of a tougher battle with Texas, but they still won the game by two touchdowns, and Texas basically had home field advantage. So, yeah, I'd say they kind of earned their spot in there. They had the 8-9 matchup in the first weekend. Then they had to play the number one overall team, who was undefeated, who beat Ohio State earlier in the season. And not only did they get revenge, they beat Oregon's brakes off in that game. It was over by halftime. It was a 30-point game. And then they dismantled Texas after a little bit. I had the same feel, Charlie, if you remember the first year of the college football playoff back in 2014. So we would have been early in our college years. Ohio State kind of had the same thing going against them. They were that fourth and final team in. A lot of people said, well, it should have been Baylor or it should have been TCU. I think it was TCU. Baylor was definitely one of the teams. Ohio State doesn't deserve to be there. They got in. They beat up Alabama like we had never seen before. Zeke Elliott ran all over that Alabama team. And then they blew out Oregon in the national championship game.
I mean, to the whole Ohio State doesn't deserve to be there. They lost to Oregon, who was the undefeated heavy favorite going into this whole thing. And they lost to Michigan. Yeah, you lost to Michigan, but it's a rivalry game. Literally anything can happen. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish, as Josh Rountree walks into.
They lost to Northern Illinois.
Hi, Josh. Josh Rossi is after
him. Ask Josh if he wants to join for the hodgepodge later.
He walked out.
Oh.
But I'll ask him. But, like, they lost to Northern Illinois, who what? Is, what do they finish? 8-5 in the MAC?
Yep.
Like, if we're going to say a team doesn't deserve to be there, it's going to be Notre Dame, if anybody.
I mean, and then.
But either way, they're both there. They both, Notre Dame beat Georgia and Penn State to get here.
Right.
Like, both teams deserve to be here is the point I'm trying to make.
Credit to Notre Dame, which I don't care to do, but you have to credit a team that, yeah, they bounced back from a bad regular season loss. They got into the playoff, and then they kept winning. So, you may hate both of these teams playing tonight, but it's not like they just got plopped right into the national championship game.
There, so what I've noticed in the conference, or not the conference championship, the college championship, people are going to hate both teams, but I think Notre Dame is more hated of the two. And then in the NFL, you have two teams that are being rooted for heavily by, I want to say, 99% of the population, in the Commanders and the Bills. And then you have those two teams that everybody despises in the Chiefs and the Eagles. There's two clear favorites in the NFL, while there's no clear favorite in college football. There's a hated team in both. Now, for college, just pick your poison. And I like Johnny the Barber, and he doesn't prank me as much as other producers that fill in. So I'm going to go with Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I get that there is a reason why people don't like either team, trust me, because Notre Dame, I mean, both of them kind of have that look down upon you mindset, although Notre Dame hasn't won anything in ages. Ohio State has at least collected national championships in our lifetime. There's reason to hate both teams, but the argument can't really be made at this point that neither team deserves to be there. I think Ohio State wins the game. I gave my score 37-20. It felt like their best chance to lose the game was to Texas, or to lose a game and get knocked out was against Texas. I think they're going to smother Notre Dame's offense. 2-touchdown game. Something like 37-20. Hopefully I put a few bucks on there. And those exact score bets normally pay pretty well, but I think it'll be in that ballpark. A 2-score game. Marcus Freeman has been here before. But as a player, not as a coach. And Charlie, do you know who Marcus Freeman played his college football for?
I should know, but I do not. Ohio State?
That would be the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That seemed like a little bit of a setup.
From 2006 to 2008. He was on the team that lost to Florida in the national championship game. He was on the team that lost the next year to LSU in the national championship game. And he was on the team that lost to Texas in the 08 Fiesta Bowl. It was a run of Ohio State football that had success, but they would come up short in those big games. He's trying to do that tonight from the other side. So who you got in this game? 412-928-9370. Will you even watch the game? Austin and Joe said earlier, very little interest in watching. I think Austin said he may tune in for a little bit, and then that would be it. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter, can hit us up on there as well. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Donnie Football with you until 6. Josh Roundtree is after me. He's in the building. I also gave Josh a heads up. Since I don't think he's hosted in a couple of weeks, the clock is out. I was telling him that. I told him that both clocks you will look at throughout the night are inaccurate. So that's fun. But we're talking national championship right now. We also, Josh and I just had a little off-air discussion, how much people care about this game. So that's where you guys come in at 412-928-9370. Ryan is in Mount Washington. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Donnie? Sorry, going to change the subject a little bit, talk about the NFL and playoffs, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So I'm sorry if people brought this up earlier, didn't get a chance to listen to the Odyssey app. But there's two main things that I'd like to bring a point across. So the last 8 remaining teams, the ones that were successful all had a mobile quarterback. And no matter what fourth down situation it was, they weren't afraid and they didn't punt, right? I believe the Commanders maybe punted once and the Bills not once in the playoffs, or I don't know if those are completely accurate, but it just shows how far away we are, right? If they sign Russ, he's a great leader, but, I mean, we saw he can't get around the pocket. And Tomlin saying how much he lives in his fears. I mean, I want to look up the stats and see how often that we punted in a situation where we should have gone for it in fourth down.
Yeah, Ryan, I appreciate the call. There was a caller that brought that up earlier in the show about just watching these offenses do what they were able to do this weekend, the aggressiveness that the offenses had, the aggressiveness that the coaches had, fourth down decisions that were almost always just go for it. I mean, a situation where I have become accustomed to that old school mentality because that's all we ever see in Pittsburgh, where I think, man, they should have just taken the points. Now, sometimes I do still feel that way, depending on the situation. And teams prove you wrong or they prove you right, depending on what that situation is and how that goes. I do still think there is a time and place for you to say, man, they should just take the points. But you have to admire the aggressiveness that these offenses have, the innovation that the offenses have that we just don't get to see in Pittsburgh. 412-928-9370. Justin is in the car. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's up, man? Love the show.
Thank you.
I ran into a guy when I went to go see my dad in the hospital. He was a big Ohio State fan, and I'm a huge Michigan fan. I actually had all my Michigan gear on and everything, and he was sitting there asking who I liked in the national championship game. And I said, well, as a self-respecting Michigan fan, with the downfall that we had this year and seeing our two biggest rivals in the national championship, I can't pick a side. I probably won't even watch the game. I'll probably check the score at the end of the game. But just want to say go blue, and hopefully we have a better year next year.
Yeah, Justin, I appreciate the call, and I hope your dad's doing okay. I feel like there are plenty of people who have that feel. Like, how much do I really want to watch this game? I'm not a fan of either team. In fact, I hate both teams. And I thought Josh, when we were chatting off air, I thought he brought up a fair point, and Josh has a split fandom between Pitt and Tennessee. Tennessee played Ohio State in the first round of the college football playoff, and Josh said, it feels like it's been months since they last played, and it has been basically a month. It's been since mid to late December since that first round of the college football playoff started, and it's so spread out between these games that it's like the whole thing is an out of sight, out of mind type deal. Like, there are fans of teams that are out of it or have been out of it that don't have a lot of interest. they'll find a different thing to watch tonight, whether that be college hoops, pro hoops, hockey, whatever it may be. I mean, the Penguins play a late game, but with how long college football games go, it'll be about halftime when that game starts up. So people absolutely could have different viewing interests tonight. 412-928-9370. Greg is in Natrona Heights. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Donnie. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. What's on your mind?
I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. I don't say I totally like our chances tonight, but I think we've got a chance, honestly. Ohio State's a big favorite. Just remember, they were a big favorite against Michigan at home, too. Mm-hmm. And the way Notre Dame plays, run the ball, play defense, that's kind of what Michigan did to them. So I like it to be close. Don't get me wrong. Ohio State is the supremely more talented team tonight. It's going to take the game of the game of their lives and probably to play a perfect game if you're Notre Dame to win tonight. I think they probably need to get either a defensive score or a special team score and probably get a couple turnovers off of Ohio State if they want to win tonight.
What's your score prediction, Greg?
Oh, man. I think it's going to be close. I hate saying this because I bleed blue and gold. I just think Ohio State's probably going to win probably 27-21, I think, probably somewhere around there.
All right, Greg, I appreciate the call. I mean, it would be nice to have a fun, close, competitive national championship game. I just don't know if this will be the year we get it. Charlie, do you remember the game a couple of years ago, the Georgia-TCU game? And it actually happened to be the year where Ohio State was a missed field goal away from beating Georgia in the semifinal. And then Georgia played TCU and they won 65-7.
I honestly don't recall that.
It was like 2 years ago.
I'm not really big on college football. When you root for a team like Rutgers, your spirit and hope for the game just kind of dwindles with each passing game.
Okay, so you're a good person to ask then. Are you going to watch this game?
Probably not. I'd much rather watch like Monday Night Raw than this game. Like, sure, I'll tune in for maybe a couple plays. And it's not that I'm not interested in college sports. It's just I'm not going to bet on the game, so there's no betting interest. I have no fandom to either team. So am I just going to – unless it, like, gets good in the end. Like, if there's 5 minutes left and it's tied 21-21, yeah, I'll tune in. But if it's a blowout, why should I care?
Yeah, Georgia won 65-7 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I'm remembering that
game. It was 38-7 at halftime. That was a miserable game. So maybe it's a game like that where it gives people a lot of opportunity to tune it off at halftime. 412-928-9370 if you want to join in. Coming up, the hodgepodge of nothingness. That's how we will end things like we always do. Donnie Football in for the guys on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
What's up, guys? It's Mulsey, and I have a question for you. Actually, it's kind of a reminder. The Super Bowl is right around the corner. So, what's the plan? Are you going to do the same thing you do every year? Or are you ready to step it up and try something even better? Get a Super Bowl experience like no other at the Verizon Super Bowl Fan Fest coming to Acrisure Stadium on February 9th. You'll get exclusive access to the stadium where your favorite players make history. Meet the game's most legendary players, all while enjoying live music and crushing game day bites. The Super Bowl only comes once a year. Who's ready to celebrate bigger than ever before? Tickets are going fast. Don't miss out. Visit your local Verizon store and find out about free tickets today. Must be 18 years or older to attend. Additional terms and conditions apply. See VerizonFanFest.com for details.